Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. And today, it's going to be a best of edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm going to mix in some new content, though. If you missed it on Friday, we had a thrilling football contest right here on KOAL. The Emory Spartans falling just short of pulling off the upset against Judge Memorial, falling 35-33 as Brock Winter's 36-yard field goal sailed right as time expired. Crazy contest in which Emory trailed 35-19 at halftime, managed to shut out Judge Memorial over the final two quarters to give themselves a chance to win this contest. Following the game, I caught up with Coach John Famalo. We're going to play that interview for you in just a moment. Also on the show today, you're going to hear from Carbon Dino golf coach Tom King. The Dinos will enter their final region match of the season tomorrow. They have yet to lose a league game. Been absolutely astonishing how dominant this team has been. We talked to Coach Tom King on Friday. We'll also catch up with Emory Spartan soccer coach on the girls' side, Eric Nielsen. Emory now firmly planted as the number 2 seed in Region 15 with a chance to tie things up with Manti in the coming weeks. Coach Nielsen, always kind enough to take out the time to join us on the show as well. Plus, we'll throw in some Major League Baseball talk. We're down to the final 12, 13 games of the regular season. The season has gone by so fast, and now they're about to start counting. That's all coming up on this Monday Best of edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We're back after this.
Now is the perfect time to organize, and Sutherland's is here to help. Your garage becoming overrun with clutter? Then it's time for a DeWalt 4-shelf industrial rack. With its stress-free assembly and 8,000 pounds of total storage weight, it's the ultimate storage solution. Right now, save $60. Other shelving units are on sale too. Plastic ventilated shelving units are $20 off. Boltless heavy-duty shelving units are only $40. Totes, and more totes, all on sale, starting at only $5.99, only at Sutherland's.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. With the flooding that hit our community, USU Eastern student-athletes gave up valuable practice time to help a community that has become their second home. From filling sandbags to cleaning up projects, our students logged more than 5,000 man-hours during the flood relief efforts. Thank you, student-athletes. For more stories about the outstanding students we have here at USU Eastern, visit our website at usueastern.edu.
You did it! You survived the summer, having kids home, road trips, driving to sports tournaments all summer long. It's time to reward yourself. How about a new vehicle just for you? The lending pros at Desert View Federal Credit Union are here to help. Come into a branch today in Huntington and Farron for a quick and easy pre-approval and a great interest rate. At Desert View Federal Credit Union, they make it easy to reward yourself. Enjoy your new ride. You've earned it.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
There was a day when you could gather your employees around a table for a morning staff meeting, pull out a box of donuts, and everyone got excited. Well, sorry, boss, it just isn't working anymore. We've discovered Big Mo's breakfast menu with a choice of several homemade breads for toast, eggs cooked up just how I like them, and the pancakes. Mmm, so delicious. Dare to change things up to get your staff's attention and have your next morning meeting at Big Mo's. Friendly service, delicious food, and great prices. Find them on 700 East in Price.
You're listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to talk high school sports pretty much throughout the entire day on this Monday edition of the show. Now, this past Friday on KOAL, if you missed it, the Emory Spartans suffering a heartbreaking 35-33 loss. Some confusion at the end of the game, and Brock Winter's potential game-winning field goal sailed right, and Emory dipped to 0-5 in the season. Had an opportunity to pull up the upset, but just came up short. Following the contest, we were joined by head coach John Famala with a broadcast booth. Coach, boy, that's a heartbreaker tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it was. Like I say, if we didn't have the horrible first half we had, you know, I think it's a different ball game. But it was nice to see my kids come out with a little bit of fire and energy that second half. And, you know, that's the type of team I've been bragging about and thinking we had all year, and so it was nice to see those kids answer the bell that second half and, you know, put some points on the board and defensively settle down and get some stops. So, you know, there's some positives from that the second half, but like I say, if we played all four quarters, I think it's a different ball game.
I think we could even take it a step further. It's a 48-minute game. If you get rid of the first 5 seconds in the final minute 20, you guys win this game. I mean, it's really that simple.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, all I asked is that these kids give us an opportunity to win. They did. I mean, it was a great strip. I mean, we honestly, you know, they could have ran the clock out there. I had a kid that, you know, he's probably about a buck 30.
You have him listed as 150 on the program. He's not 150. Let's be honest.
He's probably about 130, but, I mean, he had a heck of a play, stripped the ball, and gave us an opportunity to make that last drive. And, you know, as coaches, we're going to look back at that, and, you know, there's some mistakes we made. There's some mistakes the kids made, but at the same time, we still had an opportunity at the end, and, you know, a yard or two to the left, and we win the ball game.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the play by Braxton Young, because, I mean, that's a big-time play.
Oh, that was.
I mean, that's a sophomore playing like a senior, and we've seen that a couple of times on this team this year. I mean, I've really boasted about James Bowman and the way this sophomore has played for you guys all year. The underclassman stepped up tonight. But, Coach, if we're going to talk about individual performances, two kids really stand out to me tonight. Drake Hoffman was just a beast defensively, and Rance Jensen played one of the best possible games you will see for a kid out of the backfield. He was fantastic.
He was. I mean, and I give all credit to the offensive line, you know, and I haven't been able to say that, but I mean, up to this point. And so, you know, kudos to those kids. I mean, we went over some things, and like I talked about to you earlier in the week, you know, we had to get back to basics, and the kids, they did. And I mean, once we get a push, you know, that gives an opportunity like Rance, a kid like him, to be able to, you know, make some big plays. And he was phenomenal in screens, on runs up the middle. I mean, I don't know why he had total yards, but he had a phenomenal game. And then on the other side, Drake Hoffman, he's just a beast. I mean, I talked to Coach Cordova after the end of the game, and, you know, he said we had an audible away from him. So, I mean, he's a kid that, you know, he's stout, and he gets after it, and he gets off the ball well, and a kid we've been relying on all year, and, you know, he's a great leader.
Coach, I want to talk about the final sequence. First off, you guys get the ball back with a minute 17 deep in your own territory. A conversion on 3rd and 7, a conversion on 4th and 7. I still don't know how Easton came up with that football. We had the replay here in the booth. I mean, and Kyson was under tremendous pressure, I know, both times on the 3rd and 7 conversion and the 4th and 7 conversion. But it just seemed like things were starting to align for this team after what's been a tough 4 games. Walk me through the first play after the 4th down conversion, and then the next play in which things kind of went haywire and we got the encroachment call against Judge Memorial. Walk me through what you guys wanted to do over the final 2 plays.
So, I mean, the final 2 plays, exactly what we told them. I mean, we got 2 plays. Again, we get the 1st down and the ball's stopped. We should have killed the ball. So, we had 2 plays called on the 4th and 7. 4th and 7, Easton made a great catch, give us the 1st down. Got up, we had a 2nd call, and, you know, we got the catch in the middle of the field, And that's where everything got a little bit crazy. You know, that's one thing I kind of talked to you. You know, that's one thing we don't practice a ton, and we probably need to. We haven't been in those situations a lot. But, you know, I had kids running on for a field goal. We're yelling from the sideline, spike the ball to Kyson. And so there was a lot of confusion and chaos going on. And luckily there was some chaos on their side. The kids lined off sides. They hiked the ball, and, you know, they get an encroachment call. And, you know, we're lucky we even had an opportunity to kick the ball, because we were all kinds of discombobulated and didn't even know what was going on. So again, I had kids out there. We're trying to yell at kids to get off, trying to yell at kids to spike the ball, and it was just a lot of confusion.
It was. I can't use the word controlled chaos. I can't use that because there was nothing controlled about it.
There was nothing controlled about it, exactly.
No, it was mayhem down there for a minute. But you guys did have a chance to win the game. I'm assuming that the snap was good. Unfortunately, Winter's kick was a little far, so we did get the snap off in time, correct?
Yeah, so we had 1 second. They were going to wind the clock. We had 1 second to get the snap off, so it was a quick snap. A little bit of a bobble, but he gathered it up, got it down. Winter kicked it, plenty of leg, and just a hair to the right, you know, and that's – and in practice, he nails that 9 out of 10 times. You know, that's a kid that, you know, we rely on, and he had an opportunity. You saw the extra point and how far that was
right.
That he kicked. I mean – straight through the pipe. So, you know, I'll take my chance with him any day.
Yeah, well, it was rushed a little bit. I mean, I think that's pretty much where it boils down. While you guys are driving here, and this is something that I want to know for future reference, at what point in time do you say, okay, we're in his wheelhouse, he can knock it through from this particular distance? Did you have that thought in mind on that final drive?
Yeah, I mean, the whole time starting on about the 20, 25-yard line, I figured if we got inside the 30-yard line, we're going to take a shot, you know, and that's what we got. And, you know, we had a great opportunity, and it'd be nice to see if he go through the pipes, but that's how the ball bounces.
What do you tell your kids after a loss like this?
You know, honestly, that's what I told them was, you know, what I've been waiting for this whole year is that last two quarters of that team. That's the potential of these kids. I mean, again, we shut out Judge the second half, didn't let him score, and then, again, we put some points on the board. That's the potential these kids have, and they got to realize that. And, you know, I don't think they've bought into it all the way, because the fact that, you know, they feel like there's some, you know, some superior competition. But at the same point, if they play like they did this last two quarters, we're going to be in every single ball game.
I guess it's kind of like a beautiful struggle. One of the things that I noticed from the broadcast booth at the end of the game was the disappointment and the heartbreak that the kids endured. And I say it's a beautiful struggle because at the same time, you can appreciate the effort that they put in and the fact that they believe they should have won that football game, and that was apparent from the booth.
No, and that's it. I mean, you had kids crying, and, you know, and that tells me the kids are vested, mm-hmm. and that's what I want. I want kids who are vested in this system, in this program, and, you know, they're upset when they lose. But, you know, we got to take it as a learning experience. They got to come back with the an attitude, okay, that's our next step. Now we know how to compete. Now we know the formula to compete. Now let's learn how to win. That's the next step for us. Let's get over that hump, get a W on the board, and get on that side of the winning column.
I think everyone who watched this game tonight would agree this team is much better than the 0-5 record. I mean, obviously much better.
Yeah, I mean, I've yet to see, you know, us put four quarters together. We'll have one quarter out of four. We'll have two out of four. But I've never seen us play a full game, and that's what I've been waiting for. And I say that two quarters was the best two quarters we played all year. The fact that a kid's got a little bit excited and an opportunity and a chance to win, and, you know, that's what gets kids excited. And so, you know, they bought into, okay, hey, you know, we dug a hole, let's dig ourselves out, and, you know, that's what I was proud to see.
I know we'll have plenty of time in the week to get into next week's contest, but knowing that it is a rivalry matchup with Carbon coming up this Friday, the fact that your kids played their best game to start region play, it's got to make the coaching staff in general just smile.
Yeah, no, I feel good about where we're at. Like I say, from week one, I felt good, and then as the last 3 weeks, it feels like we've always taken a step back. And so it feels like, okay, hey, now we're moving forward. Now we're seeing what potential we have, and the kids are starting to buy off. And like I say, you know, the perfect scenario was that third quarter. That's us. I mean, we took probably 10 of the 12 minutes drive down the field. That's how we have to be. We can't have big plays, and big plays, we'll take them. But a drive like that, there's nothing better than for me to watch that drive chunk down the field in 4 or 5 yard increments, and you punch it in. I mean, that's what I want. That's what this team has to be. We're not a big play team. We'll get some, but if we take 10 minutes, control the ball, we'll be successful.
To save the big plays for defense, like the Colton Wilson pick six, right? That's where you need the big
plays.
Exactly.
That's it. I mean, he made a phenomenal read, jumped the route, made a great interception. We had another interception. You know, that was the difference, honestly. I mean, I think we had 3 turnovers. The first half, we didn't turn the ball over the second half.
Right.
So, and again, that's ball control. You know, that's the formula that we need to be able to win, because we're just not going to overwhelm people with speed or athleticism or anything else. We just got to grind it out, and I think they saw that today. You know, they saw that, this is all right. It's fun to punch people in the face and drive down and, you know, just grind it out, because you can see on the other side they're wearing down too. They're feeling it, and they don't want to go up anymore. And, you know, that was nice to see today.
Coach, I appreciate you coming up. I feel bad telling you congratulations, because I mean it's a game that that I know is going to sting, but I mean it was a great performance tonight by both teams. I mean it was entertaining.
It was fun. You know, I appreciate Coach Cordova. He's got a great team. You know, it was a fun game. Like I say, hopefully we'll learn from it. And I say it's heartbreaking, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm happy when it comes Monday, because it's start over day, and it's, you know, planning, and, you know, that's the fun part of coaching for me is, you know, that Monday through Wednesday, the Thursday and Friday, if you have wins, it's great, but when you lose, it's a long weekend, but, you know, that's part of coaching, but I love it.
Coach, hopefully we can catch up again on Wednesday.
Yeah,
Sound good?
You bet.
Fantastic. Thanks for stopping by the booth, Coach.
Hey, not a problem. Appreciate it, Jordan.
Again, that's Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartan football team talking about Friday's setback during the Emory Medical postgame show. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hi, this is Mark Holyoke, CEO of Castleview Hospital. I'd like to take a moment and congratulate the staff of the hospital for their hard work, dedication, and tireless commitment in helping earn a ranking in the top 100 rural hospitals in America. The measures that they have helped implement have resulted in better communication, increased specialty certifications, and implementation of infection prevention measures. I am very proud of this recognition, but I am even more proud of our outstanding staff who have readily embraced our approach to quality.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'd like to take a minute to brag about some of the amazing students we have here at USU Eastern. With the flooding that hit our community, USU Eastern student athletes gave up valuable practice time to help a community that has become their second home. From filling sandbags to cleaning up projects, our students logged more than 5,000 man hours during the flood relief efforts. Thank you, student athletes. For more stories about the outstanding students we have here at USU Eastern, visit our website at usueastern.edu.
If you can't swing like a pro, you can at least look like a pro with the help of TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club. TK's has it all, from clubs and balls to lots of hats and shoes and a great selection of shirts with many colors and sizes to choose from. With the help of the experts at TK's Pro Shop, not only will you look like a pro, you'll be playing like a pro too. The golf course awaits. Get in and gear up today at TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club Golf Course.
Every great team starts with a great coach, and we at Jake Miller Financial Services want to be your financial coaches. It is our mission to help clients understand their financial lives and achieve their financial dreams. Let our experience and knowledge guide you through the game of life as we provide you with only the highest quality of information and services to help you reach your financial goals. Call us for an appointment today at 637-5433. With Jake Miller Financial Services, it's a beautiful retirement for the win.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Today's edition of the Coach's Corner, we're going to talk golf. Carbon High School golf team, really having to fight some tough fall temperatures and weather already. Rain today, rain yesterday. The Dinos traveled on the road to Canyon Hills Golf Course, that's the home course of JUAB, and despite fighting some rain and wind, they did manage to tack on another 7 strokes to their lead, running their region advantage now to 141 strokes, with just one region meet to go. Riker Smith shot the low round of the day with a 79. Not typical as far as Riker standards, but again, the weather was terrible for Carbon in the later portion of yesterday's meet. Joining us right now to talk a bit about what happened yesterday and what lies ahead for the Dinos Golf Squad, we have Coach Tom King over the phone. TK, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks again for always having me.
Yeah. It's always a treat to talk some Carbon Golf. I know this time of the year things get a little bit tricky as far as the weather goes, and that's kind of what you guys encountered yesterday, is you had to travel on the road to Canyon Hills.
Yeah, it's typical fall golf kind of in the area. Sometimes we have great weather, and sometimes it's just terrible. And yesterday was it started off okay for weather, hitting range balls in the morning and stuff, but by the time they got about eight holes in, it started raining and blowing pretty hard. It's turned cold. It was like, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't like Florida or Texas, but it was a pretty bad experience.
As far as golfing and that type of element goes, is that good for your kids? I mean, you guys have such a big lead at this point in time of the season. Is it something that you want your kids to experience, or is it kind of meaningless?
I think it's a little bit meaningless. I mean, they need to be able to play in those conditions, obviously, and the scores are going to go up. They're going to go up quite a bit. I think what they need to do is learn how to grind it out and be tough, especially in the wind. When the wind blows, you got to shorten up your swing, try to control the ball flight, and just grind it out. Understand that bogeys are not a bad score on some holes, and pars are really good scores. And so if they can do that, that'll give them, you know, a little bit more experience in those conditions, because you never know what will happen at state. We could have those conditions, and you still have to play no matter what, unless there's lightning or the golf course becomes unplayable as far as water or rain and stuff like that. They're going to have to play in it.
Despite the weather and everything that you guys had to encounter yesterday, you did still shoot a 324. So what's your assessment of your team's performance yesterday?
You know, 324 is definitely not where we want to be by any means. But I believe, you know, the weather played probably 15 shots higher, so I think we could have probably shot a 309. You know, Riker was our low round of the day. He shot 79. He was the low round of the tournament. But he is not very happy with that score by any means, and he hates that golf course. And so that just tells you how tough it is, or how tough it was that day for 79 to be low.
Now, the good news for Riker, he doesn't have to play at that golf course again, right? You guys are finished at Canyon Hills.
Yeah, that's what we talked about when he was done. I said, you're done playing here ever again, so don't worry about it and move on.
Let's take a look at some of the team scores. You guys do top Union by only 7 strokes, Providence Hall at 335. As far as the competition in the region, despite the fact that you guys have a 141-stroke lead, you have a couple of teams that can push this team, which is never a bad thing.
No, that's a good thing. You know, and also this team's made a goal. They've set a goal to go undefeated. They were undefeated last year, and they want to be undefeated this year. And yesterday could have been the day we lost our first match. As far as losing region, it's not going to happen. It's hard to blow a 140-shot lead with one more match to play. But, you know, they still have a goal of going undefeated, and they need to try to achieve that goal.
We'll talk about some of the other individuals from yesterday. You did get an 81 out of Brady. Ryan and Carson both shot 82s. So, again, I mean, it's difficult to assess this considering the conditions, but 3 strokes, 2 strokes behind Riker, typically that would be ideal for you, right?
Yeah, especially if Riker is shooting an even par round. That's awesome for us. That's a sub-300 round. It's definitely not the best day for these kids, and they got to learn a little bit. I know Carson was playing pretty solid as far as his score going. He was moving right along through about 11 holes, and then he came up with a hole to play, and he just made a bad score on one hole, and it kind of snowballed for him. He started making some bogeys. Brady played really good, shooting an 81, especially, you know, his mindset wasn't there yesterday. He was just in a fog. You know, he just wasn't himself, and for him to pull out an 81 was very good. And again, Ryan Gagan as well was playing very solid for the first 8-9 holes. Then he made one bad swing, kind of snowballed on him, and then the weather got him. So the weather made a huge difference today, or yesterday, excuse me.
Outside of your top 4 golfers, you did have some solid performances as well. Zade Carrillo, who's actually top 10 right now in the region, has been just pretty solid for you guys all year. And I remember our first interview, you mentioned how impressed you were with him during the offseason, especially since you cut him last year. And for him to be top 10, true testament to just how dominant your team has been this year.
Yeah, Zade definitely has improved a lot. You know, he's unfortunately hasn't thrown a round in the 70s yet, and I think he can. I know he's capable of doing that. You know, yesterday, again, he was one that was playing pretty solid till the weather got to him. So I'm curious to see what will happen at next week at ALA, which is Spanish Forks Golf Course. But this is when I need Zade and Carson and Brady to just find a way to gut it out through the state round and just throw a round in the 70s. If they can do that, we'll be very good.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Tom King of the Carbondale Golf Squad. Coach, let's talk about the ALA course. This will wrap up region for you guys. It's gone by in a hurry. No bye week. Straight through. You play seven straight meets, and then you'll prepare for the Eastern Utah Cup and then the state tournament. So I guess it is important, right, to finish region play with a bang.
Yeah, it definitely is. It kind of gets that momentum and that ball rolling. You know, playing up at Spanish Fork is not a very difficult golf course. You don't really have to hit a driver off the back nine other than one hole. It's tricky, though, as far as ball positioning or ball placement on the greens. You got to keep the ball below the hole because there's a lot of slope, and typically those greens are up there fairly fast. That's what the kids saw yesterday, too. Greens are fast with some slope on it. So putting will be a premium up there at Spanish Fork. I hope they can put a good round together, play the Eastern Utah Cup here, hopefully get some confidence up, and then go into the state tournament. I hope we're peaking.
Schedule does shape up a little bit differently to end the year. You guys will have a quick turnaround. You actually go to Spanish Oaks Golf Club on Tuesday, which is out of the norm from a typical Wednesday or Thursday meet, and then you guys will have about 9 days off before you get back onto the course for the Eastern Utah Cup. As far as competition goes and the way your schedule shapes up, does that matter that you guys kind of have a break and it's a little different?
No, because we're going to practice either way. We're going to do it. So, I mean, we're going to try to practice every day, work on the same things every day. We'll take one day off during that break there, and then just try to get the top six ready for state. Golf, you know, you just got to keep playing, especially when you're playing good. Keep it going and keep playing and keep striking the golf ball. You know, we will take advantage. Yesterday on our way home from Juab, we stopped at Spanish Fork and hit some golf balls and putted a little bit on the putting green. We'll take advantage while we're up at Spanish Fork. Once we're done playing and playing our round there, we'll stay there and hit some balls on a range because we don't have that opportunity to hit a lot of golf balls on a range here at home. So while we're there, we'll take the advantage and hit some balls there and work on our long game.
How much more do you believe these kids will improve before you get to the state tournament? I mean, what's the ceiling at this point? How much more can you really expect?
I can expect a lot. We still haven't hit our numbers where we wanted to be at an average of 300. We've only broke 300 once. We shot a 308 besides that. But, you know, I can expect a lot, and I demand a lot. You know, I think they need to improve. They're not where they need to be going into the state right now. They're close. Understanding, you know, where Moab's been playing really good, and I understand Morgan's a good team.
Seems like those are the top three squads, right? I mean, Moab, you got Morgan, you got Carbon. After that, it seems like there's everyone else. I mean, as far as you and I have talked and as I've talked to others, it seems like those are the top three teams to expect in the state tournament.
That's correct. Yeah, North St. Pete's going to be in there as well. They're a good playing team. They've got two good players on their team as well. So, you know, Moab's pretty deep. I know they've got three solid players. I've seen their scores. So we'll see. I like it again. I need my number 5 and 6 to be able to throw in around every once in a while in the 70s.
Well, TK, it is always fun to talk with you and get an update on how the boys are doing. Thank you again for taking out the time. Hopefully we can catch up next week following that meet against ALA at Spanish Oaks.
Okay, I appreciate it, Jordan. Thank you very much.
Again, Coach Tom King of the Carbondale Golf Squad talking about the team's finale, which is going to be Tuesday. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on the Carbondale Golf Team in the coming days. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll move over to the national scene, talk Major League Baseball and also some NFL football.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
Emory Telcom's new eFiber internet service is helping business here in eastern Utah. Businesses know that unreliable internet connections can have real costs. Any amount of unplanned downtime can bring business communications and productivity to a complete stop. With new fiber optic internet available through Emory Telcom, your business will experience the fastest, most dependable internet service available. Even during high demand periods, your connection will stay fast with eFiber. Let Emory Telcom help your business stay connected. Call them today at 613-9605.
At Emory Medical Center, patients are like family with the most comprehensive care around, including on-site x-rays and lab work. Emory Medical Center gives quality health care in one convenient location with doctors and physicians who put the patient first. Emory Medical is excited to announce the return of physician's assistant Lowell Morris. To make an appointment with Lowell or any of the other trusted providers, call 381-2305. Emory Medical Center, your friends, your neighbors, your providers.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Monday edition of the Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to talk high school soccer. The Emory Lady Spartans had a highly important game last Thursday, battling with the Manti Templars on the road. The winner took over sole possession of first place. And unfortunately for Emory, they came out on the losing end of that contest. But they sit in second place all by themselves. Joining us right now to talk about that, how the season has gone so far, and what lies ahead, we have Coach Eric Nielsen. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's always great to be on your show, Jordan.
I appreciate that, Coach. We'll start by talking about, the region play for you guys. Coach, you guys have played a lot of soccer in a very short period of time. In fact, only a handful of teams throughout the 3A classification have played more soccer than you guys have all the way around so far this year. But you are 2-1 in league play. The last game didn't quite work out so well. You guys lost to Manti, who is now in first place at the top of the standings by themselves. But all in all, Coach, how would you assess the way your team has played so far this year?
Oh, I think we've been playing really well. Had some tough competition and some good games to play in. Really happy with how we started the region. Started off with a win at home and then got one on the road. Went over to Manti, had a tough game there. But all in all, we're sitting where we need to be. And as we talked before the season started, you know, our big goal right now is to get a matchup in the playoffs that we can be competitive with. And the way we've been playing so far in region, we're well on our way to do that.
Yeah, this Manti game, I mean, obviously it was a big game considering you both were undefeated. But, Coach, you guys have kind of solidified that number two spot. North St. Pete's right there with you at 2-1, but that's a team that you guys beat them handedly. And then after that, I mean, you have Richfield, who's got a losing record at the moment. Grand and South Sevier have yet to win a league game. So as far as the competition in Region 15 goes, I mean, you guys are right there to grab the number two seed, maybe even challenge Manti for the number one spot. So I'm sure you're thrilled with that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've got to remember, too, I still have a pretty young team here. Several of the girls have been starting for multiple years, but really 3 to 4 seniors that are playing a lot of varsity time this year, and we're just building on that. We're gaining momentum, I think, through the season. We've kind of gone out and shown the teams in our region that we're a force to be reckoned with, and we're sitting in second place right now. We've got Grand and Richfield coming up this week, and, you know, we plan to set the tone with them and come out with victory, too.
Yeah, when you and I talked at the beginning of the season, you had mentioned that you're a young team, but you do have a couple of seniors on the squad, girls that have been starters for 3 years. Have you noticed that leadership, Coach? Have you noticed that maturity level from these kids who have been 3 year starters on your team?
Oh, absolutely. They come in and, you know, they know what to expect throughout the season. And it's a long season and basically have 2 games a week. And, there have been girls that have stepped up as leaders and makes a big difference. It's just that maturity level to be able to do that.
Let's talk about a couple of individuals on this team. Alexis Winter has 9 goals so far for you guys, leads the team in scoring. Josie Funk has been the perfect second complement. She's got 7 goals. Morgan Herdsman has 4 goals. And so while, you know, these three kind of lead the way, I mean, that's a lot of parity between 3 girls. Typically, if I'm looking at box scores and I'm looking at squads, you don't have the high volume from that many players on a squad, at least in the box scores that I've taken a look at. So in that regard, I mean, you have 3 girls that are definitely doing work offensively for the team.
Oh, yeah, and we're thrilled with that. Anytime you can have several threats on the field, you know, teams kind of have to play you differently than just trying to shut down one girl, and I feel like we have that. You know, Alexis has come out and had some good shots and put 9 in. That's awesome this early in the season. And like you said, Josie and Josie Funk and Morgan Herdsman are right behind her, and you know, I look for them to keep scoring, and I think there's a couple other girls that could could get a few goals in there as well.
Let's talk about what you guys have at goalkeeper so far. Melina McElvaney, for the most part, she's handled the goalkeeper duties, right?
Yeah, she's been our starter for the majority of the games this season. She's a senior this year and has done a lot of good things for us. This is her third year as a starter. So she's got the experience back there and really has played well this season.
I've always kind of felt, Coach, and I'm not too familiar with the game of soccer, but at least in my mild experience with it, I've always viewed a goalie kind of like I view a free safety in football, where like 90% of what they are going to do is instinct, and that's just something that you can't teach as a coach. I mean, as far as instinct goes, a kid has it or he or she doesn't have it. Is that a fair assessment when looking at the goalie position in comparison to the game of football, looking at a free safety and instinct?
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know, we can do drills to them and walk them through different scenarios, but when you're there one-on-one and the ball's coming at you, that's, you know, it's pure instinct. You got to be ready to go. The kind of the difficult thing about being goalie that people don't think about is, you know, there's times in the game where they're not touching the ball and they really have to stay mentally in the game for when that one moment comes and you've got to be ready to make the play or not. And so, you know, it's really mentally taxing to try to stay in the game, and that's just an attribute that the goalkeepers have to get as well.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Eric Nielsen of the Emory Lady Spartan Soccer Squad. They are 2-1 in league play so far. Coach, you guys will pick up action once again this week. You have a home game and an away game. It'll start tomorrow as you guys take on the Grand Red Devils at home. Again, this is a team that has yet to win a game in league play. Only 2 tries so far, so there's not a huge sample size there. But during the season, do you prep for individual teams, or do you just focus more on what you guys need to improve on? I mean, what's your game prep like for league action?
Well, for the most part, we'll look at what we've done in the past, especially the last game, and make some changes to our game. What can we do better for ourselves? A little bit, you know, I'll look at a team a little bit and see what their tendencies are to do, but as long as we're working on our game and the way we play, that really doesn't change no matter who's on the schedule.
It is an important week for you guys because, again, 2 teams that haven't had huge success. I mean, if you guys were to win both the Grand Contest and then take care of Richfield, you have North St. Pete next week. So really looking at it, I mean, we're talking about 3 crucial games for you guys as far as the standings go. You can really solidify that number 2 spot, which, again, if you finish number 2, you get a home game, which I'm sure is the goal at the beginning of the year, right, to get a home game for the state tournament.
Absolutely. And like you said, we're finishing the first round of region this week with Grand and Richfield, and the girls really, you know, they need to come out and make a statement and say we're good enough to be second and host a playoff game, and I think they're to that point, and I think they're going to come out and do that.
The boys were in that situation this year, and they did get a home game. So, I mean, again, correlating the 2 programs, which I think can feed off of one another, for the girls to do the same thing in only, what, 3 years of existence, I mean, that's pretty remarkable for you guys to be in a situation right now where you're sitting at in the standings.
Oh, it is, and I attribute most of that to the work of these girls. They've been coming in, working hard all season, during the off season, and, you know, I mentioned that when we talked earlier, they're encouraging each other, they're helping each other, and we really do have that leadership now to come in and say, okay, this is our team, we're gonna take what we can and then put that on the field.
Coach, before I let you go, I want to bring up something that you and I were discussing before we jumped on the air, because for someone who maybe doesn't watch a lot of soccer, you just pay attention to the box score, you take a look at the standings, sometimes games can be misleading at this level. For instance, a 4-0 loss to Provo. That's a game that you brought up to me, and you said you were really happy with the way your team performed against a good Provo squad. So even though that was a loss, there were positives to build off of. What has been the moment this year where you looked at your team and you say, okay, you know what, that's how we need to play? Maybe it was a loss, maybe it was a win, but I thought it was interesting that you pointed out that 4-0 loss to Provo, because again, that's a good team. So have you had instances this year where you've looked at your squad and you've said, you know what, if we play like that, we'll compete for a state title?
Yeah, and I think the Provo game was kind of the start of that, a little bit of a glimpse. We came against a big, tough Provo team, 5A team, came here and and we played right with them. We were physical. We were aggressive. We had chances to score on them, and for the most part, you know, we shut them down. That was kind of the glimpse of that. We came back from that game. We worked on a little bit of our offense, and then I think the defining moment so far is when we went up to South Summit on the road. Long road trip, and our girls played great. They played hard. They were passing. The offense was working. Even though that was a tie game there, you know, the girls, the way they were playing and the way they were seeing the field, if we can continue that, you know, I think we can make a deep run in the playoffs this year.
Well, Coach, it's always fun to talk with you, always fun to get updates on the girls. Best of luck this week. I know it's a very crucial week for you guys. Hopefully we'll catch up again with you relatively soon.
Great. Sounds good. Thanks, Jordan.
That's Coach Eric Nielsen of the Emory Lady Sport and Soccer Squad joining us to talk about the season. Again, Emory will return to the field tomorrow to take on the Grand Red Devils. We're going to break for just a moment. When we come back, we'll recap a very busy and important week of the college football season. That's next on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Here comes a comeback. The kid is back, back on track, and everybody loves
a... We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. It's a Friday edition of the show. We're going to move over to the national sports scene. Yesterday, we talked a lot about the Cleveland Indians, on if they would actually get to win number 22. Now, they got to win number 22, and it was in dramatic fashion, but yet they find another way to get a victory, and they continue to increase their lead in the American League standings. We're also going to talk some National League Baseball during this segment. We'll bring in a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein of Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. Steve, always a pleasure. Thank you for the time.
Well, thank you for inviting me on. I appreciate it very much. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty in baseball. We're down to about the final 18, 20 games. Things are starting to really take form. I think we know what we're going to get in the National League, but the American League is kind of a different beast right now. I mean, we have the Indians, we have the Astros, we have the Red Sox. The Yankees are not dead yet. They're only three back of the Red Sox. And as far as the wild card playoff picture goes, really it's not getting a lot of pub, but don't look now. There's a tie between the Angels and the Mariners as they try to run down Minnesota. I mean, it's a very interesting race right now in the American League, Steve.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the American League race, especially because of the team you mentioned, the Minnesota Twins, because while the Cleveland Indians have clearly run away with the American League Central, the Minnesota Twins are battling on. Kansas City's kind of fallen off a little bit in the recent weeks. Of course, they just lost that epic last night, game 22 in a row for the Cleveland Indians. But the Minnesota Twins are this team that nobody's really paying attention to. And I like this team. I like what I've seen from them in these last couple of weeks because, again, while it's easy to get lost in the shuffle of the Cleveland Indians story, Minnesota's battling on, and they've done it, you know, with a kind of a patchwork rotation, kind of a patchwork bullpen. But I like what I'm seeing from this team. They got a pivotal couple of games coming up here down the road to keep themselves in the chase right now. But I'm keeping an eye on them right now because for the second straight night, they win with a walk-off home run in the 10th inning. Brian Buxton's playing some good ball right now. This is a fun team to keep an eye on. And maybe they don't get the job done this year because their names are not the Red Sox. They're not the elite, you know, like you mentioned, the Cleveland Indians. But this is a fun team to follow. I think they're going to be even more fun to watch next year.
Now, I'm glad you bring up the Twins because here's a really underrated story that nobody has talked about at all. It's the resurgence of Joe Mauer.
Oh, absolutely.
And nobody has talked about this. And offensively, if you look at the Minnesota Twins, they're really led by two individuals. Dozier has been fantastic this year. Joe Mauer is batting .306. These two guys have kept the offense afloat for the Minnesota Twins, and it's easy to forget that just a short 5-6 years ago, Joe Mauer was a legitimate MVP candidate in the American League. A couple of injuries, you know, before you know it, you forget about Joe Mauer. Now he's playing first base, he's batting .306 for the Twins, and no one's talking about it.
No, Eddie Rosario gets a walk-off home run the other night. This is a team that is going to be historic. They can be the first team ever to go from 100 losses last year to making the playoffs the next season. That's never happened before. So, and a lot of it does have to do, like you mentioned a moment ago, with Joe Mauer. The season he's put together right now has been outstanding. Brian Dozier with 30 home runs, 83 RBIs, and that's an anomaly because how many guys are hitting 30 home runs and only have 83 RBIs? That's a statement to just how difficult it's been to score runs, how difficult it's been for them to get runners on base and get runners across here. But you mentioned Joe Mauer, a guy who a couple of years ago we were talking about as an MVP candidate. The season he's put together right now has been outstanding. His last 7 days have been okay, but I mean, you know, especially at home, where he's been most effective, you know, has really been at home. He's had 14 doubles. He's done well this season. He got a lot of RBIs, and he walks a lot, which I think is also a big thing for him. But a guy who's 34 years old, he's put together a good season so far. I like this team. Again, I don't think they're the elite level right now that the Indians are at right now, or the Red Sox are at right now, or certainly the Astros are at right now. But that's a guy who you really want to be keeping an eye on. That's a team that's going to be fun next year.
Speaking of the Twins, if they were to get into the postseason right now, they would have a showdown with the New York Yankees in a one-game playoff. Now, the Yankees are a team that I thought would die out. I thought they would totally fizzle, but Steve, they're 3 games back of the Red Sox right now. Obviously, the move of the deadline to grab Sonny Gray was a terrific move by Brian Cashman. Tanaka has been pretty good this season. He's leading the team in wins. I know he's got 12 or 13 wins. I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's been fairly consistent for this team. In a one-game playoff, who would you favor between these two teams? Because I think this is what we get in the AL wild card.
Yeah, and if you'd have asked me this 2 weeks ago, I might have said the Twins, but now you're seeing what I hate to call it a resurgence because it's only like 2 months ago, but now we're seeing Aaron Judge again. Now
right.
We're seeing him get those home runs. He hit 6 home runs, I think it's the last 10 games now. So I think that's the story right now is you mentioned Sonny Gray, and now, of course, you got Aaron Judge hitting the ball again. If it is that wild card matchup, if it is that playoff matchup, I think it's probably going to be the Yankees that move on from there simply because, again, Aaron Judge is finally, I think, finding his swing again, and that's a huge factor for the Yankees going forward.
Let's move over to the National League, and again, we're joined right now by Steve Bortstein, host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico. We'll find out more about that show in just a moment, but the National League has been set in stone, Steve, I think for a little while now. The Rockies aren't going to go anywhere. They hold a 3-game lead, I know, on the Brewers and the Cardinals, but I would be very shocked to see the Rockies falter over the next 15 games. I think it's a lock that we get an NOS showdown in the wild card between the Diamondbacks and the Rockies. And then there could be some problems for the Dodgers once you get into the next round because the Dodgers have struggled with the Diamondbacks. We know on the flip side you have the Nationals and the Cubs, which is going to be a very interesting series. But as far as the National League goes, I think we're set. We know the 5 teams that will be playing come postseason time.
I'm not sold on Colorado.
Still.
I'm not sold on them holding this lead. I've watched this team. I watched that game last night between them and the Diamondbacks. The Rockies are just dreadful right now. And if you look at the stretch of games they have to play, you know, I mean, the thing about the Rockies has been all year has been they've really played well against teams they shouldn't play well against. You know, they played well against the Nationals. They played well against the Dodgers. They don't play well in games they're supposed to win. They don't play well against the Padres. They don't play well against San Francisco. Well, if you look at their schedule, the next 10 games are against those two teams right there, are against the Padres and the Giants. I think this is a very pivotal stretch of games. These next 2 weeks for the Colorado Rockies and the Milwaukee Brewers, I think if the Brewers can move up, if the Brewers can do something these next couple of weeks and the Rockies falter, and a lot of these games are on the road. They've got a 7-game stretch on the road, a 6-game stretch on the road, against San Francisco and San Diego. And if the Rockies falter in any of those games, I think the Brewers can make a run here. That being said, if they don't, yes, you're right. It will be a Rockies-Diamondbacks showdown. The Diamondbacks win that. They move on. And then you mentioned, of course, they have to play the Dodgers. And look, I'm as grateful as any Dodger fan. You and I are both Dodgers fans. I'm glad they've gotten over their schneid here. I need to see this team play well on the road this weekend. I know the Nationals have already clinched, so they don't have anything to play for. The Dodgers still do. They need to reestablish their mojo, if you will, to get themselves back to that place where they are the dominant team in the National League. Because right now, they're not, and they need to reassert themselves. I think it meant a lot to see Curtis Granderson not in the lineup these last couple of days, because Curtis Granderson strikes out more often than I do. So so it was good to get him on the bench a little bit. I hope we see more of Cody Bellinger hitting the ball again like we saw the other night, because I think this team still can get it done in October, but I need to see them be able to perform this week on the road in Washington.
Well, looking at the pitching rotation here, it's going to be Wood, Hill, and Ryu for the Dodgers in a really crucial three-game set. And I call it crucial because the Nationals have an opportunity to overtake the Dodgers still for home field. So the Dodgers need to win this series. If it's 2-1, if it's 3-0, the Dodgers need to win this series. With that being said, do you believe that it was simply just mental during this 11-game stretch, this 11-game losing skid, completely 100% mental now that you've logged a couple of wins against the Giants? And let's be honest, even in Kershaw's win against the Giants on Tuesday, the Dodgers didn't look all that great. I mean, again, this was a Giants team that pushed them in this contest. Was it just mental?
Well, if it's not mental, then it's managing. So pick your poison. And that's the way I've kind of looked at it right now. If it's not mental, if it's not, okay, they got complacent, they started believing their headlines a little bit, you know, maybe they thought they were better than they really are. You and I talked about this. Maybe they shouldn't have won some of those games that they won. Maybe some of those ninth-inning heroics maybe were masking some other problems that the Dodgers were having. So if it's not mental, then it's managerial. And if it's managerial, that's a problem. Because now you're saying that, you know, Dave Roberts, who, well, two months ago, we were already shining up his National League, you know, Manager of the Year trophy right now. So I want to say it was mental. I want to say the Dodgers started believing their press clippings. And I'm going to say that because of, in particular, a couple of players. Younger players who are either not used to the headlines, not used to the spotlight being on them, or take advantage of the spotlight a little bit. Namely, Cody Bellinger. Not that it's his fault, but he's never been in this position before. And Yasiel Puig, who enjoys the spotlight and loves the spotlight and might have gotten too caught up in the spotlight a little bit. So it's pick your poison. Is it mental to you or is it managerial to you? I think the Granderson move was meant to sort of wake up Jock Peterson a little bit, and maybe that didn't work out so well because Granderson, again, strikes out a lot. So I think you can make cases for it being either mental or managerial. I hope whatever it was, I hope they're over it, and I hope they pick it up now in the last couple of weeks. What do you think it was?
I think it was mental. I really do. I think the talent is definitely there. I still, you know, I love the pitching rotation, but I'll tell you one aspect of this team, and I know the big move at the trade deadline was Yu Darvish, but Steve, he has not been any more consistent in a Dodger uniform than he was with the Rangers over the past year and a half.
I agree. And maybe we still needed that arm. Maybe the Dodgers still needed, I say we, I'm a fan, I'm sorry. Maybe, you know, maybe they needed that arm in that lineup. Maybe they needed that one more, just not overly dramatic consistent arm, but another consistent arm. I think, you know, one of the things that I think we need to see is some of these young kids being called up here on the 40-man roster. We need to see more from them, especially coming out of the bullpen, because Baez has been a disaster out of the bullpen in recent weeks. A lot of it has not been starting pitching, Jordan. A lot of it has been the middle relief guys who are not getting it done. And Baez is the most guilty one of all of that. I believe in like two or three consecutive games, he gave up multiple runs in positions where the Dodgers were either winning or close, and he was a disaster. So I need to see something from those middle relief guys that are going to get called up to the road, that are going to get called up from the 40-man roster. We need to see more from them in these coming weeks.
Steve Bordstein, he's the host of First Sports on Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico, also host of the Fast Track. Steve, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can hear the show on the iHeartRadio app through our website at foxsports1340.com. First Sports airs 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, which is 7 to 9 a.m. local time in your area. You can hear it weekdays, again, on the iHeartRadio app at foxsports1340.com. If you're in the northwest New Mexico area, you can catch the show on the radio dial at AM 1340 or 93.9 FM. Again, First Sports, Monday through Fridays, we cover a lot of regional and national sports on the show. And then on the weekends, I also host a nationally syndicated horse racing show called The Fast Track, which airs at 10 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. local time. And again, you can catch that for all your horse racing best bets and much more. You can catch that also on the iHeartRadio app. You can also follow me on Twitter at Fox1340 AM.
Steve, always a pleasure to talk baseball with you. Thank you very much for taking out the time to join us. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the fight on Saturday, and I know we'll talk again real soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you for the time.
We got more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. When we return, we're going to break down the contest you heard last night here on KOAL. The Cincinnati Bengals falling to 0-2. They have not scored a single touchdown yet this season. That's coming up next after this.
K-O-A-L. Your home for news, talk, sports in Eastern Utah. 7-3.